for joining us. There's always an interesting question when it comes to discussion about Nittel Nacht. First of all, I wanted to thank Yechiel Zlotnick for picking up the refreshments. Thank you. I'm not fooling myself that the crowd is for me. So we appreciate it. So there's always a discussion when we discuss Nittel Nacht, are we mekayim a mitzvah of Talmud Torah? The whole discussion of Nittel Nacht is, what should you do and should you not learn? Is there a mitzvah of Talmud Torah by learning the topic of Nittel Nacht? So I hope there is, for our sake, for the next half hour. But it's interesting, they asked Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz once, how could it be that there's a minug to not learn? A minug is going to be oiker. There's a din always, a mitzvah deraisa, always to be learning. There's a minug that's going to be oiker, Talmud Torah. Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz says, minug Yisrael Torah. Minig Yisrael is Torah. So if the Minig Yisrael is not to learn, that itself, so the fact that it's not a Kiyam in Mitzvah Talmud Torah, that itself, the fact that it's a Minig Yisrael makes it Talmud Torah. So we'll discuss the different approaches to Nittel Nacht. They once asked the Belzer Rebbe when he came to Eretz Yisrael, so he was establishing his yeshiva, and they asked him, what are we going to do about the Nittel Nacht? Because, you know, the Chassidim are very makbid not to learn on Nittel Nacht, but there is a discussion whether this applies in Eretz Yisrael, as we'll soon see. So he said, this is the first time we have a Belzer Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, are we going to learn or not? So he says, of course we learn, there's no Nittel Nacht in Eretz Yisrael. They said, no Nittel Nacht, Nittel Nacht is a big thing for Chassidim, going to be abolished, the whole thing. In Eretz Yisrael there's no Nittel Nacht. And okay, in Eretz Yisrael there's no Nittel Nacht. Then comes Nittel Nacht, comes the night before, and they see that he's walking around, he's not learning. So they say, Rebbe, you told us there's no Nittel Nacht in Eretz Yisrael. He said, no. There is Nittel Nacht in Eretz Yisrael. I didn't want to go through all the hachanas for Nittel Nacht, preparing for Nittel Nacht, and all the batala that takes place in preparation for Nittel Nacht. So I told you there's going to be Nittel Nacht. But in reality, there is Nittel Nacht. So we're being meicha now for Nittel Nacht, give you a little bit of a historical perspective on what Nittel Nacht is all about, how it developed, why it developed. On Thursday night, we gave a shiur about a sefer called Toldos Yeshu. Toldos Yeshu is a sefer which is very cryptic, very mysterious for obvious reasons. There can't be much documentation about it because for most of our history, if people would have found out about Toldos Yeshu, they would have been killed. It was all about the Jewish perspective on the origins of Christianity. And we discussed it at the time, a Thursday evening, about an article from Dr. Schneier Lyman, which suggests, based on Toldos Yeshu, and based on Toldos Yeshu is already, it's an early source. We're not talking about something that was written 100 years ago. Rashi already quotes the Sefer Toldos Yeshu. The Rishonim already speak about Toldos Yeshu. Again, it's not exactly clear how it developed because documentation couldn't be clear at this time. They would publish something, again, forget about it. The Jewish community would lead to pogroms. So we discussed how in Toldos Yeshu it describes how the Jewish community was very unclear what to do, very not sure what to do about the Christian movement. On the one hand, they were nervous. They saw that they were gaining strength. They were attracting people. And they were still identifying themselves as Jews. And this was a tremendous danger. So what Chazal did at the time, according to the Sefer Toldos Yeshu, is that they sent certain people, certain God-fearing Jews, into Christianity and had them push Christianity away, had them be mevatel the mitzvahs and change the calendar and everything, change the alphabet, change the language. And from the inside, they pushed them away in order to make, even though they make them farther away from Judaism, now they're not keeping any of the mitzvahs. There are many Jews that are not keeping any of the mitzvahs, but it was better to have them clearly out of the camp than confuse people within the camp. That's what we discussed at this time based on the Sefer of Toldos Yeshu. But we mentioned that, again, nothing is clear in this area of history, this area of learning. There's nothing very clear because, again, nothing really could be printed on a wide scale, and anything that was printed was heavily censored. So it's very hard to get a good grasp on the history, the origins of Christianity, as particularly from the perspective of Jews. And you'll see that just in the very topic of our shir. The topic of the shir, you'll notice, I wrote Leil Nittel, Nittel twice. Why did I write that? Because the topic, what does it mean? Nittelnacht itself is under tremendous question. What does Nittelnacht mean? There are those that say Nittel comes from the word, the Latin word, to be born, which was this form of Natal, something that is referring to the born of the birth of Yashka. There are those that say Nittel refers to the word Tliya, the one that was hung. There are those that say Nittel is not with a Taf, it's with a Tes. It means to the one that was taken. So the very nature of the word is very unclear. It's not clear at all what even Nittel means. In terms of what we call Oso Ish himself, Yeshu HaNoitri. Where did the term Yeshu HaNoitri come from? Why do we refer to him as Yeshu HaNoitri? Also not clear. There are those that argue, as we'll see in the Rambam, that originally the name was Yoshua or Yeshua, some form of salvation. But then when everything happened, so we wanted to clearly show that we don't believe that he's a savior at all, so we took away the ayin, and that's how it became Yeshu. There are others that say we call it Yeshu for the acronym, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro. Notzri, what is Yeshu HaNotzri? There are those that say Notzri is referring to the place that he was born. Others say, no, we call him Yeshu HaNotzri to emphasize the point that he was actually creation. He was created. He's not a god, Chalila, but he was created. So you see, not a single idea, not a single concept. Nothing is 100% clear. Nothing is 100% mukrach, and that's mostly because of heavy, heavy censorship and how careful the Jewish community had to be. Now, there's nothing more ambiguous. This sense of mystery most heavily relates to the birth of Yeshu. There's nothing more ambiguous, more unclear than actually when Yeshu HaNoitri was born. It's not even clear when Yeshu HaNoitri lived. During what tekufa did he live? You take a look. It's interesting, this actually had very, very significant ramifications, because one of the Christian claims at the beginning of Christianity, in the medieval times, during the times of the Rishonim, one of the Christian claims was that what caused Churban Beis HaMikdash was the fact that the Jews didn't accept Yeshu HaNoitri. And therefore they placed the origin, Yeshu's life, right before, a few decades before Churban, and they say, you see what happens when you didn't accept Yeshu? That led to Churban HaBayis. Now the Ramban responds to that and says, you're absolutely wrong. You have it totally off. You're centuries off. That's not when Yeshu HaNoitri lived. And Ramban points to Gemara Maseches Sota, you have a Marmakom number one. We don't have time to read the Marmakomis. I gave them to you if you want to take a look at them later. Very interesting Marmakomis. Where the Gemara goes through the famous story. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia was a little bit harsh with one of his students. And the Gemara says, you shouldn't be so harsh with your students, because what happened to Yeshua ben Prachia could happen. What happened to Yeshua ben Prachia? Yeshua ben Prachia had left Eretz Yisrael. He had gone down to Alexander because they were killing all the Rabbanim. We know the story. They were killing, Yanei Melech was killing all the Rabbanim. So he ran away with all of his Talmidim. Then they realize, then the reign is over, and Yeshua ben Prachia gets word that he could come back to Eretz Yisrael. So he comes back with all of his Talmidim. They're on their way back to Eretz Yisrael, and they stay in an inn. And the lady, the innkeeper, takes very good care of them. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia says, you see how great this innkeeper is. She takes such good care of us. And the Gemara says that Yeshua ben Prachia had a Talmud there, who was a very good Talmud, very clever Talmud, very sharp, big Talmud Chacham, who said, Rebbe, you said how nice is this innkeeper? And he thought the Rebbe was talking about how beautiful she was. He says, you call this beautiful? Her eyes are like this, are round. You call that beautiful? And Rishu Mephrachah looks at him and says, you think I was talking about how she was good looking? That's disgusting. Where's your mind? Your mind's in the gutter. I'm talking about that she's a nice innkeeper. And Rishu Mephrachah puts him in Nidoy. And the Gemara says that day after day, he comes back trying to get out of Nidoy. And Rishu Mephrachah would not re-accept it. The Gemara says, finally, one day he comes, and Rabbi Shuvim Prachia was in the middle of Kriyashma. And Rabbi Shuvim Prachia that day decided, you know what, I'm going to take him out of Nidoy. And Rabbi Shuvim Prachia says, but I'm in the middle of Kriyashma. So he motions to him, wait 1 minute. And this Talmud thought that he was saying, no, I'm not accepting to you. Says the Gemara, Yatza, he went, he was Mecharef and Megadef, and he lost, he caused many Jews to go off the Derech and to serve Avodah Zarah. That, according to the Gemara says, that Talmud was Yeshu HaNoitri. That was the source, the origin of Yeshu HaNoitri. The Gemara doesn't add in all the details, but this Sefer told us Yeshu adds in many, many interesting details how he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He looked at the Evin HaShasiyah And he figured out, the Gemara, the Toldos Yeshu says that the Evan Shtiyah had the Shemas of Hashem, which people could use to do miraculous things, but there were certain dogs on the outside which would scare people and make them forget all the Shem Hashem. So you couldn't remember it once you left. But he had a way, what he did was he cut into his skin and it etched them into his skin, so that even if he would forget, when he went back out, he was able to see them, and he would use this Shem Hashem to do tremendous miracle. And that's what the Toldos Yeshu writes. All these miracles that he did were done using kishuf and things of that nature. Akedei kafle, Chazal didn't know what to do with him. He was doing all this miraculous stuff and attracting tremendous amounts of people, until Chazal sent one of the Tanaim, Rabbi Yochanan, it says, not the famous Rabbi Yochanan, a different one, Rabbi Yochanan sent one of him, and he learned the Shem Hashem as well, and he was able to counteract, and that's the origin, according to the Sefer Toldos Yeshu, put it together with the Gemara, that's the origin of Christianity. What's important from this? The Ramban says, when did Yeshu live? During the time of Yeshua ben Prachya. Yeshua ben Prachya was centuries before Churban Bayis. You're telling us that the Churban Bayis happened right after because we didn't accept him. It's not true. We see he was a Talmud of Yeshua ben Prachya. Yeshua ben Prachya was centuries before, says the Ramban. Obviously, your entire timing, the schedule, the calendar of Christianity is way off. Now, it's not so simple. While the Ramban is correct, that is the opinion of Chachmei Tzarfas and the Ramban, and the Rishonim that go in the Ramban's camp, that is correct, that Yeshua Noitri was in fact the Talmud of Yeshua ben Prachya. The Balei HaTosfos disagree with this. And the Balei HaTosfos say there's another Gemara. Take a look at a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Maramokum number 2 with the Gemara. This Gemara was taken out for a while. It's been put back in, taken out by the censor. Where the Gemara talks about the hanging of Yeshua Noitri. Vatanya be'erev Pesach taluhu li Yeshua HaNoitri. They hung him. Why? Because again, he was being a Mesis. He was causing people to serve Avodah Zarah. So ask the Tosfos Arash. I don't understand. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about someone says the Tosfos Arash. Mar Malcolm number 3. Ein zu Yeshua Noitzri Amr B'Sanhedrin Perek Nigmar Adin. We have two separate stories, but talking about Yeshua Noitzri, but they're talking about two different time periods, says the Tosfos Rosh. One's talking about the time of Yeshua ben Prachya, one's talking about the time of Heleni Amalka. They were hundreds of years apart, says the Tosfos Rosh. So how in the world, what's going on? How could one person have lived so long? Says the Tosfos Rosh, there were two Yeshus. There were two Yeshus, and they both went off the derech, and they were both mecharef and megadev. But the Yeshu Hanoitri, the one that started Christianity, that was the later one that lived in the time of Heleni Amalka, and therefore that's not necessarily against the Christian claim. So it's a machlokes rishonim, even in what tekufa, what time period did he live? But that just shows you how unclear everything is. Nothing is well documented. We don't have any good historical record of exactly when this began. It's all subject to big machlokes. Even greater machlokes than what Tekufa he lived in is when he was born. Now, one thing that is 100% agreed upon by everyone seems to be that he was not born on December 25th. That seems to be agreed upon by everyone. And again, December 25th itself is a date that they came up with. We'll discuss why in a moment. But it's according to, the question is, did they choose December 25th according to the Julian calendar, in which now our calendar would be only January 7th, or even according to the Gregorian calendar, so December 25th. So December 25th was picked randomly, we'll discuss why in a second. But even the day that they picked to celebrate his birth, which was certainly not his birthday, is not even clear if it was December 25th or January 7th. Because of that, the people that are extremely makbid on Nitalach have what they call a Nitalach Katan and a Nitalach Gadol. There are 2 days of Nitzel, Sveka de Yoma of Nitzel Nach, right? So Sveka de Yoma, you have to have it so because it's January 7th and it's December 25th. So nothing is clear. But what, as I mentioned before, it was clear, it is clear, 100% clear that he was not born on December 25th. He was not born on January 7th. So why is December 25th, why is January 7th the date? And this is very important to understand. There was a Yom Tif in ancient Roman times, in pagan times, called the Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about, I believe it was called Saturnalia, something of that nature, which took place around this Tekufa, from the days around December 25th through the beginning of January. It was a seven-day Yom Tif, and it was a pagan Yom Tif, where it was the nature of the Yom Tif was extreme, total lawlessness. There were no courts. The courts were shut. And you could do whatever you want. You literally could do whatever you want. And the height of the Yom Tov, the 8th day, they would actually bring, they would kill a person and bring a human sacrifice. This was the pagan Yom Tov called Saturnalia, and it was obviously very enjoyable for most people. It wasn't enjoyable for the human sacrifice, but everyone else had a great time at this Yom Tov. Now, as Christianity was trying to extend its tentacles and extend its influence, this is a fascinating thing. The way which they did that, now, you have the Rambam, who goes through in Mori Nevuchim. I think this is a fascinating point. You have the Rambam in Mori Nevuchim who gives tamim for many mitzvahs. And very, very frequently, the tam for a mitzvah is that the Oivdei Avodah Zarah would do X, so we have to separate ourselves, we go to the other extreme, and we do Y. Now, these are only the basic, the most superficial reasons for the mitzvahs. But these are often, the Rambam will tell us, this is why the reason behind the mitzvah, to separate ourselves from Oivdei Avodah Zarah. There may be one exception when it comes to karbanos, but even that is a little bit more complicated, not for now. But basically, that was the nature, the most superficial reason of many mitzvahs is to separate ourselves from Oivdei Avodah Zarah. In Christianity, they did exactly the opposite. They wanted people to join the religion, and they were willing to give any concession as long as the people would come in and join their belief. So they would approach different pagan communities, and they would say, we'll make a compromise. You join us, you join Christianity. This is how they spread. This is how they spread so quickly. But they said, we're not going to give up on our Yom Tov Saturnalia. That's a great time for us. So they said, fine, we'll adopt it, but we'll change what the meaning of it. This is when we'll celebrate the birth of our Savior. It'll be December 25th. You celebrate your Yom Tov. You want the same nature as that. You want that Yom Tov. You get to keep your Yom Tov. We're just changing the meaning. And it's perfect. Everyone is happy. Many of the origins and many of the practices of Christianity come from pagan roots, such as the tree. A tree is a famous one. We know the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that trees were worshipped known as the Asherah tree, right? So the tree in the house came from a group of pagans called the Asherah group. Again, it was a pagan custom. You see, they went around. As long as you were willing to believe in Christianity, they joined on, jumped on the bandwagon. You didn't have to leave everything. Why is this so fundamental? Now, it's important for a number of reasons. We'll get back to Nittel Nacht in a second. But just from a perspective, just to give you a perspective, the Rambam tells us very clearly as follows. The Pasuk in Daniel, Mar Malkum 4, says, Uba'itim ahem, Rambim yamdu al melech ha-negev, uvenei peritze amcha yinosu lahamin chazoin v'nichshalu. There's going to be a time, al melech ha-negev, that's referring to Roim, referring to Edom, uvenei peritze amcha yinosu lahamin chazoin. They're going to set up a chazon, a navi, and many people are going to be nichshal. Says Rashi, what's this referring to? Again, this is Daniel. Says Daniel, according to Rashi, Re'isi b'shem Reb Sadia, zu umo shel Esav isiyatu. Esav, Edom, Romi, they're going to set up a Navi, and many people are going to be nichshol. Says the Rambam, this is referring to Christianity. Daniel was prophesizing about Christianity. The Rambam's clear in Maromokum number 6. Six lines down in the Rambam, Kvar nisnabe boi Daniel, shenemar v'nei peritze amchi yinosu lahamid chazon v'nichsholu. Is there any michshol greater than Christianity? Says the Rambam, Daniel told us this was going to happen. Is there any greater michshol in the world? But then the Rambam says something absolutely fascinating. We don't understand why the Rabbanu Shalom did this. We can't understand the Rabbanu Shalom. Of Muhammad and Yeshu, why did the Rabbanu Shalom allow Christianity and Islam to gain so much traction? To pave the way for Mashiach. You think Mashiach could come overnight and all of a sudden that entire world that's fully steeped in paganism is going to overturn itself to monotheism? No, how's that transition going to take place? Says the Rambam, Christianity and Islam brought the entire world to monotheism. And this is how they did it. They made tremendous concessions. They went to pagan. They said, just join on. We'll adopt different parts. So the Yom Tov that they're celebrating is not a Yom Tov that had anything to do with their religion. It has to do with the paganism. But they used it, they incorporated it into their religion in order to bring people in. How did that work? How did that happen? Why did that happen? Says the Rambam. That was exactly the point. That's why the Rebbeinu Shlom allowed Christianity to spread. That's why the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted Islam. What purpose did it serve? It spread monotheism throughout the world, even in places which were entirely paganism. Now they believed in monotheism, paving the way for Mashiach. You see that most starkly, I think, in this holiday of Xmas, the holiday of Xmas. You see everything, its roots is from paganism. And you see these are people celebrating, are monotheistic people. They believe in one God. That's what the Rambam is telling us. This is a key of what the Rambam's telling us, that this is paving the way for Mashiach. So that's absolutely fascinating. But more importantly, for our purposes, this Yom Tov of Saturnalia, I told you, was tremendous lawlessness, tremendous havoc. You're able to do whatever you want. The courts were entirely closed. There was no justice at all. Now, what happened? So Christianity adopted this Yom Tov, and they saw no reason to change that. It was a perfect Yom Tov, right? Well, adopt the Yom Tov. It's 100% good. The courts are closed. You want your Yom Tov. As long as you believe in our beliefs, you could have your Yom Tov. Everything is good. We're good to go. Now, who obviously became the first victims of this lawlessness? The Jews. Christianity, the day, the holiday of Xmas, the holiday of December 25th, is in Jewish history a terrible day. And it's important for people to realize, we don't appreciate it so much. It's a terrible day. It's a day where Jews were tremendous victims. They suffered tremendously. The lawlessness was always taken out against the Jewish community. We have documentation of Jews being forced to run through the streets naked while everyone's just sitting and laughing at them. It's a terrible day in Jewish history. And the fact that we forgot that is very important. We have to put that in perspective. Baruch Hashem, we live in a Medina Shel Chesed. We live in a good place. But we have to realize this was not a good day in Jewish history. It was a terrible day in Jewish history. It was a day in Jewish history where the entire Jewish community would fear the entire year. They'd be afraid of this day. Because again, anything can happen. The books talk about a woman's walking the street, totally could be raped without any consequence. A person could be killed, no consequences whatsoever. And when you have to pick a victim in those times, in Christian culture, who was going to be the obvious victim? The victim was going to be the Jewish community. So this was a terrible, terrible day. Which brings us back, I only have 4 minutes. Which brings us back to our other point. Nitelnacht originally, probably, where is the beginning of Nitelnacht? Where's the first time we hear about Nitelnacht? So surprisingly, we think it's a Hasidic invention. Not at all. In the 1400s already, the Maram Turnot from Minhagi Ashkenaz quotes a minog. He says as follows. Take a look at Maramakum 7. Viragilim la'amru b'kol ram. He's referring to the tefillah of Aleinu l'shabeach. The first minog of Nitelnacht was not to learn. The first minhag of Nitelnacht is that the Jewish community would say, Aleinu l'shabeach b'kol ram. Mizanirali dinogu b'leil nitel lomar aleinu b'kol ram. Av she'enogin kol ashan b'nei ha-sakara. Even though we don't say, because of the sakana, we don't say, probably he's referring to the word, shehei mishtachavim lehevel v'rik v'anu misvalu l'makela yeshia. We don't say that out loud. And even later they ended up taking it out because of the sakana involved. But says the Maram Turna, the first minhag of Nitel, and he calls it Leil Nitel, was that we all got together and we said, Aleinu b'kol ram. Nothing about Aleinu, that's already in the 1400s. Then, 200 years later, in the 1600s, the Chavos Ya'ir comes, it's the first one to mention, that we have a minhag that we don't learn, we close the Batei Medrash on Nitelnacht. The most obvious reason given for this is based on what we just described a minute ago. This seems to be what the Chavos Ya'ir says, and this is certainly what the Sefer Minhagim brings from the Sefer Likutei Pardes, that it was a tremendous sakana for a Jew to be found in the streets. Are you correct? For a Jew to be found in the streets on Nitel, anything could happen to you. Stay home. That's how the minhag originally began, according to most. That's the most logical explanation. The minhag began. They closed the base measures. Are Jews going to be found in the streets on Nitel? Now, who knows what could happen to you? Even at home, who knows what they're going to do to you? But you're going to go outside in that type of culture. You're going to go outside to the base measures. The base medrash is locked, stay at home. That is the most basic, the earliest probably havana of what happened, why this minhag developed. And because of that, the Chazon Ish said, so, Bezana said, if there's no sakana, so then there's no reason that a person has to be makbid on such a thing. The whole point is just because it was a sakana. So if it's a sakana, good. If there's no sakana, not. Again, that was the approach of the Tamei Minhagim brings from the Sefer Apardes. It's the pashtus of the Sefer Chavos Ya'ir, that it was simply a sakana. And therefore, as we mentioned before, it had its roots in a pagan holiday of lawlessness. and the Jews were always the victim, so we're going to feed them a victory, we're going to put ourselves in their hands, stay home. That was a minhag. It even says in the Chafetz Chaim, it wasn't only learning, right? We have to remember the learning part, that's the part we remember. Also, people didn't do business, as I said. They said, no one went to work those days, you're crazy, you're going to be found outside, right? No one practices that, I don't think, Bisman has said. Anyone stop working for a week? So, says if anything, it's vacation, right? Said no one's working. Not everyone, Jews stayed home. Are you crazy? We're going to take a chance with such a thing. That was the first, probably the first explanation given, the first reasoning behind Nitzan Achron. Nosson Adler, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, gave a different explanation because there's another minhag found when it comes to associated with Nitzan Achron. That is that the mikvahs were closed. Now the mikvahs were closed probably for the same reason. But not only were the mikvahs closed, many had the minhag not to be not to have tashmish the night of Nitl Nach. When Nelson Adler said, what was the reason behind Nitl Nach? You think it's because of the danger? It's not only because of the danger. Said Nelson Adler, it's a minug of Avelus. This was a terrible day for Judaism. Look at what happened to Judaism. Look how many people got killed for the sake of Christianity. It's a minug of Avelus. What do when we're Avelus? We don't learn. We don't have tashmish. We are Avelim during this tkuf. This is what the Chassam Sofer quotes from his Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler. The Chassam Sofer very rarely rejects his Rebbe. Clearly you see over here that his Rebbe was giving it as a suggestion. Chassam Sofer says, no, that's not the reason. Because, he says, all those that know about Nitl Nach know that we're only not, this is another thing which somehow fell by the wayside, we're only not makbid to learn the first half of the night. But we stay up from Chatzois until Amun HaShachar, we stay up learn, says the Chassam Sofer. So the whole thing is Mishum Avelo, so why are we learning for the second half of the night? Comes the Chassam Sofer and says, I have a different explanation for Nitl Nach. It's not because of Sakana. It's not because of Avelos. What's the reason for Nitl Nach? Says the Chassam Sofer, look, think about how it looks from the Rabbanu Shalom's perspective. You have midnight come, and all the Goyim, all the Christians are in their house of worship, serving God, doing their Avodas Hashem. And what are we doing? We're sleeping. The Jews are sleeping. Says the Chassam Sofer, think about such a thing. So they had to make a way to make sure that all Jews were up doing Avodas Hashem during that Tkufa, so it wouldn't be a Kitrig on Klal Yisrael. So Chassam Sofer says, he actually goes in detail why they couldn't do other things, make a takana like this, make a takana like that. He said, the best Eitza that they found was, they said, you don't learn for the first half of the night. If a Jew can't learn for the first half of the night, what's a Jew going to do? Of course, he's going to learn the second half of the night, right? That's the only option. Can't learn the first half of the night. You don't learn the second half of the night. This was Chazal's way. This was the Minhag's way of developing to make sure. The point wasn't not to learn. The point was to make sure that we're learning the second half of the night. That was the Chassam Sofer's approach to Nitl Nach. Now, again, these are all the practical things that we could wrap our heads around. There's a tremendous amount of mystical sources on this as well. I'm not going to try to explain it, as I can't say I fully understand everything, but people should know that in the world of Chassidus, and not only the world of Chassidus, it was adopted later by Chassidim, but this predates Chassidus, the words of the Mekubalim, now it's an interesting thing, because we just explained that in actuality, nothing really happened on December 25th. But yet, it did become the day that is recognized as the celebration of Christianity, and because of that, many of the Mekubalim and the Chassidus Rebbe is right, that's the purpose for Nitl Nach, that's why we don't learn. And there's two ways they express this. One way of expressing it is that somehow learning on this day would be giving zechuyos to his neshama, and therefore we don't want to give any zechuyos to him, so therefore we refrain from learning. Others express it in that there are certain detrimental spiritual powers that are in charge at this time, as we've seen at the Bin Be'atan for Klal Yisrael, and therefore to do spiritual actions such as learning and things of that nature would be detrimental. Again, I can't say that I fully understand this, but I just wanted to express that there are many, and therefore, that's why they say, many of the Rebbes say, that's why we don't have Tashrish. Again, because a child that's created on this day, from an act on this day, would end up coming from bad spiritually negative sources, and that is the reason, according to many, for Nitl Nach. So we have the spiritual reasons, we have the Chassam Sofer that says it's to make sure that we're learning the second half, we have Rav Nosson Adler says it's Avelos, and then we have the basic answer that it is Mishum Sakana. Rav Moshe Sternbach was asked about Nitl Nach, and he says as follows, take a look at Mar Mokum 10, just to have Halacha L'maisa. What did people do during Nitl Nach? So you're not learning. What does the Jew do? You're not learning. There's nothing to do. So the Chabad has a strong minhag in Chabad that they play chess. Every chassidus seems to have developed their own midug, exactly what game they play, how they spend their time on Nitelnach. The Maharsha was said, and this is what Ramesh Sternbach suggests, if a person's going to be machmer, he says, on Nitelnach, and not going to learn, so what you should do is, there's a person always has to do personal banking, personal account, there are things that people have to do. Just set aside that night. The Maharsha, they said, would always take care of his personal finances on the night of Nitel. There's a famous story from Maharsha, that he was once taking care of his personal stuff, and that someone was malshin him, and they said, go to the rabbi's house. You know this rabbi. What is he always doing? He's always learning, right? If you want to see him tonight, I bet you he's not learning. Why is he not learning? Because it's your yomtiv. They were malshin on the Maharsha, and they came to the Maharsha, and the story goes, many of the Sfarim bring this story from the Maharsha. At that moment, the sefer fell down from the shelf, and the Maharsha went to pick it up, and you know, if a sefer falls down, you don't just pick it up, you learn a little bit from it. At that moment, he was learning from it. They knocked on the door. They said, oh, he's learning. It's interesting. This is a story they say from Maharsha, but I was speaking to the Rosh Kol over here in Rabbi Horowitz's shul. Simcha Bandi is a Ger Chassid who also has his roots. Bandi is a Yekesh name. And he told me in his family, I don't know if I think it was his great-great-grandfather, was a Rav in Germany. And he was also Makbid on Nitelnach. And he said a very, very similar story. He said in his family, there's a Mesaira not too many generations ago. His father, his great-grandfather was a Rav in Germany. And also it was Makbid on Nitelnach, didn't learn, and the same type of thing. They were malshin on him, and they came to see. He said, at that moment, someone had come to his house with a chicken. It was back in the days when Rabbanim had a paskin on chickens. So he's paskining a shiloh. So he had the svarim open, he was paskining, and that's how he was saved. But different people do different things on Nitelnach. Midog became to play sort of in the chsirisha, yeshivas, bismanazet. They all have different types of programs. There's no learning on Nitelnach. Says the Rav Moshe Sternbach, this is a fascinating ha'orah. At the end of Mar Malkum 10, he quotes from one of the G'dayli Chassidus, Rav Meir Parmizlan, says the last paragraph on your sheets, Mar Malkum 10, V'shamati b'shem ha'admer ha'kodosh Rav Meir Parmizlan, asher hu b'simcha lel nitl. He was ecstatic on the nitl nach. Sheb Rosh Hashanah, many yeshiva bachim are ecstatic. Most of them are ecstatic because they don't have to learn. But Sheb Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don es koil ha'olam. The Radisham judges the entire world, the Sari Umos Ha'olam Ba'am B'Taina, and all the Malachim of the different nations come with the Taina. She'ein Zem Mishpa, Kevin Sharaka Yehudim Yodim Shazak Kodesh. You can't take us to task. They're serving, they know that it's the Yom HaKodesh. They know it's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The rest of the world doesn't know it's Yom HaKodesh. So you're going to give them, that's not fair. It's not a fair game. If they knew, they would also do tshuva. Aval Umos Ha'olam Lo Yodim Shazay Yom HaKodesh. This is the Taina, the state of the Rabbanu Shalom, Seder Meir Parmizlan. Aval Kishimagia Lel Nitl Shazay Etzlam Yom HaKodesh. But when their New Year comes, when their Yom Tovim come, and this is the Yom HaKodesh for them, how do they act? Metamin Atzim Biznos Ve'Oil. All sorts of frivolous activities. Miss Asher b'kacha habsak shadin Rosh Hashanah. Then the Rebbe Rosh says, "You see the difference between Umas Ha'olam, how we treat our New Year, and between Klal Yisrael and Umas Ha'olam. This is what solidifies our din, our zechuyos in Bezdin Shel Mala. According to Rameir Pevishlam, that's a Musar Haskel that we should take out of it and make sure that we always take our heritage." And our Yemei Din with that seriousness. I just want to end by pointing out that Rev Avad Yosef has a tshuva. I gave it to you here as well. Mar Mokum 9, Rev Avad Yosef has a tshuva. He was also asked about Nitl. And he is very, very makel when it comes to Nitl. Again, he doesn't throw it away. It's very important to realize that none of the poskim dismiss it very, very easily. They do take it seriously because it is an old, old minhag. But he is very, very makel when it comes to Nitl. And he goes through all the different reasons and why he shouldn't apply in Eretz Yisrael, and what it should imply if there's no danger. But at the end of the day, he says that a person should realize that we're discussing one night a year. Every other night of the year, the assumption is that there's a chi of Talmud Torah. This was the one night of the year where we're going to lock the base measures. It's a huge deal. So I would say our urge, that no matter what a person's minhag is on Nitelnach, person has minhag avos going back a long time that he plays chess, okay, play chess. Person doesn't have, so learn. But every other night of the year, what we should get out of Nitelnach is that Chazal made there's a minhag, Yisrael, not to learn one night a year. The assumption being that what was going on every other night of the year, of course, you're going to the base medrash, people were out in the street, they were learning, they were sitting learning, they were using their nights. Well, right? That's why the night was created. A night was created for Talmud Torah. I would say that's the message that we should walk away from Nitelnach from. That perhaps one night a year there's a debate whether we should be engaged with Talmud Torah. But every other night of the year, what a Jew does when he comes home is to be Oisek b'Talmud Torah u'b'mitzvah. Yashar koyach.
Yeah.